Well, I wanted to, I know whatever we do, we can't share all the gifts. There are many gifts that God has given, but this morning I wanted to kind of clump some of these together, not because they are any less significant than any other gift that God gives us, spiritual gifts, but these are gifts that I guess I would call enabling gifts. They're kind of booster gifts. They kind of help all the gifts in a variety of kinds of ways, and I thought a perfect way to kind of show this would be in terms of the parable of the talents or the minas, and look at it from that kind of a perspective. You know, every single one of us in Christ has been given some measure of faith, some measure of discernment, some measure of wisdom, some measure of knowledge. All these are spiritual gifts, but we have them in varying degrees. Just like the talents or the minas, you've got 10, you've got 5, you've got 1. What God is concerned about there is how do we use what God has given us. Some people have been greatly gifted, and if you have been greatly gifted, then more is expected of you. Some may not be gifted as much quantitatively, but God still wants us to use whatever gift or gifts that we have for His glorious purposes in whatever context we find ourselves in. Faith is spoken of in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, when it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you." You see, even in that statement there, faith has been given us in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given us. I know some people who just seem to have large quantities of faith. It doesn't matter what's going on, their faith is completely unshakable. And then there are those who say, "I have faith, but I just have a little bit of it." And I'm reminded of that mustard seed text in the scriptures, where sometimes I think we're putting too much emphasis on one thing and not on the other. We put an emphasis sometimes on this whole idea of a mustard seed faith can change things. But I think the real emphasis in the parable is, even if you have just a little bit of faith, but your faith is in a big God, that's why your faith can move mountains. It's not the amount of faith so much as it is the person you have faith in, God, God Himself. Because God is unshakable, and God can do all things. And everyone is given some measure of faith. And Romans 12, 3, and also verse 6, as I read there, tell us that we need to use our faith in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given us. And as we do that, you know what happens? Our faith grows. It's like the one, if we have just a little bit, the one who has the one talent or the one mina, and instead of just putting it away somewhere, they allow it to grow by using their faith. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, when we read that, remember, there is a piece of that text that talked about faith, and here I'm just going to remind us of that text again. In this you greatly rejoice, the fact that we are Christians and God is faithful and we have a living hope through Him. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, see, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and honor and glory to God. You see, our faith gets tested. And when our faith gets tested and we come out the other side of that and realize, you know what, I still have faith, our faith is growing. If the faith is never tested, we don't know how much faith we really have or what kind of faith we really have. But when our faith is tested and we come out the other side of that and realize, I'm still trusting God, I'm still trusting in the Lord, our faith grows. Not like the one who was given the gift and did nothing with it. And eventually, it was even taken from him. Discernment, wisdom, and knowledge. I'll get to these in just a moment here. But we will have it in increasing measure as we use these gifts in our lives, just like the parable says. Enabling gifts are qualities possessed, not activities performed. I want you to get this statement again. Enabling gifts, these gifts here are qualities possessed, not activities performed. Just like in the parable of the talents, when the concern was what one did with their talent, not just having it. What they did with the talent, not just having it. What if one has a great amount of faith but never uses it for any purpose? What good is it? And it does not grow. Sometimes I don't like to be challenged in that arena. Do you? Sometimes we don't like it when our faith has to be tested. God, I'm going through a tough time. I don't want to have to go through the tough time. I just want to have faith when things are just coasting along and everything's going well. But then you go through something tough and all of a sudden you have to lean on that faith. And you know what happens when we do? We're leaning on the author of faith, on God. And he strengthens us. Because we're trusting in him. You see, if we don't exercise our faith, they'll be reduced. If we don't exercise our faith, our walk with the Lord becomes even more distant. Faith. It affects how we think about ourselves, it affects how we think about others, and affects how we think about God. It increases the effectiveness of every other gift that we possess. Faith does. Discernment. Spiritual things can only be discerned by a spiritual mind. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, discernment is important for us. A lot of people out there in the world don't understand a lot of the things that we talk about because they haven't received what we have received. This whole idea of salvation to the world out there seems to get muddied by what they think is going on in the church. Let me explain. There are a lot of people out in the world that think Christians... If you're a Christian, that means that you try to be good so you can get to heaven. That's what they think out there. And so they look at the church and they see people in the church and say, but those people in the church don't always do good things, do they? They mess up. I've seen it. I've watched them. They are not really any different than I am because they sin too. They have pride too. They have greed too. They struggle too. Some of them have foul mouths like I do and all these things, and they look and see, they're not really any different than we are. Well, to some degree, I wish that would be the case, that we as believers do look quite a bit different than the world out there, but sometimes we don't represent God real well. But discernment in the church recognizes this. When we read God's word, we understand, just like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and this faith is even a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. We realize that salvation in Jesus doesn't come about because of how good I am. It has nothing to do with how good I am. Our salvation is not based on our goodness. Our salvation is based on his goodness and what he did for us. Our response to that salvation is wanting to bring honor and glory and praise to God. So our response is gratitude. Our response is desiring to be holy because he is holy. Our desire is to live for him because he gave his life for us. And that kind of discernment helps people understand why Christians ought to be the most freed people of anyone else in the whole world. See, the world out there thinks that you and I are enslaved to this idea of trying to be good. No, no, no. I'm enslaved to the idea that God loves me so much that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it's not because I was any good whatsoever. It's because he is so good to me. the gift of discernment as we continue to read His Word and live out our lives, understanding that it's because of what He did. That is so freeing for me. I can live my life for Him, not thinking, did I do enough good? There's still people in the church that think if I can be 51% good and 49% bad, I've got a chance to make it to heaven. No, none of us are good enough. I don't care if you think it's 99%. God, through Jesus Christ, is the one who bridged the gap for you and me. Discernment. Wisdom. Human wisdom is not godly wisdom. We are to ask, and He will give. In James 1:5, here's what it says. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, it says, even the foolishness of God is wiser than our wisdom. That really puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Knowledge. Matthew 13:11 says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, not to them. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, to me, as believers in Jesus Christ, but not to them. It's not until we come in to knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that we receive that knowledge, that gift, that spiritual gift of knowledge. That the kingdom has been given to us. We are part of that kingdom. We are heirs. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what He gave us. Romans 1:28 says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind. You see, the world out there has been given over to a depraved mind because they have not thought it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. And where do we find the knowledge of God? Right here, in His Word. I ask you and me to seek these gifts in abundance. Faith, discernment, wisdom, and knowledge. And understand that these enabling gifts are increased as we exercise them. Just like the gifts or the talents and the minas in Scripture. As we exercise these gifts, we grow in these gifts. And these gifts are multiplied in us. But if we won't exercise these gifts, they don't grow. Use what you already have, and you'll have more. It's called exercise. Ah, exercise. I've never liked exercise. No, I haven't. I've never liked exercise. I love to play, but I've never liked exercise. Never. So if I can play, and while I'm playing, I'm exercising, then that's okay. But just the exercise itself, I've never been one who liked to exercise. Is there anyone else here that would confess to the same thing? All right. Oh, there's quite a few of you. And then there's others of you that I am so jealous of because it's like exercise is one of those things I can't wait to get up in the morning and start exercising. I'm like, no. You know what I did for years instead of exercise, and now that I'm older and everybody gets hurt, we don't do it anymore. I went and played basketball 3 days a week here from the moment I came, well, not the moment I came here, after I found out there's a group of guys in Sheboygan that would play basketball, old guys like me, play basketball. We didn't care about whether you won or lose or anything like that. If the ball was heading out of bounds, you looked at it. You know, when you're young, you dive for it. We don't do those kind of things. So I would play 3 days a week. That was not exercise. It's play. Play for me. I want to look to some degree in the way I live my life in Christ as one that I don't see the exercising these gifts as this thing I got to do, but these exercising these gifts are like playing for me. They're like I enjoy to do these things because when I do them, I get better at them. I grow in them. I mature in them. And I want to look at it more that way instead of just something I have to do, something that brings joy to me when I do it. And maybe you ought to look at it the same way. Because the more we exercise our faith, I think the more we end up enjoying life. And And the more that God blesses us, sometimes even in ways we don't even see. And I'll have to say, over the last few years, I have had to exercise my faith, and I can definitely see that God has grown me more and more and more over these years. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. Sometimes I didn't want to exercise, but I had to get there. And I want you and me to look at this maybe more like I was looking at playing as opposed to exercising. It is exercising, but seeing it from a different perspective and grow. Faith is exercised in part by reading God's word. Romans 10, 17 talks about by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If people don't hear the word, they don't grow. If we hear the word, we read the word, we grow in him. And wisdom is exercised by experience, by doing. We need to be grounded in his word and exercised in life. That's what we need. That's what you and I need. So we can have these gifts more and more abundance. And you'll appreciate life a little bit better. All right? Amen? God, we thank you and praise you for the gifts that you've given us. There are many gifts in your word. We have gone through some of these and realized that some are gifted in ways in particular where others aren't. And then there are others that are gifted in ways that those other ones aren't, but we all work together in the body of Christ. Lord, help us to live our lives with the gifts you've given us, exercising them. And by exercising them, we grow stronger. And we go stronger so that when we face all of life's ups and downs and ins and outs, we can handle them in you because we have exercised the gifts that you've given us. Thank you, O God, for it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray.